welcome to Vanity Project. This is a podcast where we listen to the albums of a bunch of amazing Hollywood stars and find out just how talented they really are as musicians. Will we make it the whole way through the album today? Ha ha! James Colley, you're here to co-host the show with me. I am excited to see you, more excited to see and talk to you than I am about listening to this album again, but that's by the by. How do you do?
I am well, Bridie. Welcome back to Australia. I am thrilled with this album because it is insane. This might be I don't know what I was expecting coming in. This might be my least favorite so far, and that is a high bar to clear.
It is, because we are fresh off the horrors of failing to make our way through the four record extravaganza that we reviewed last week, Travolta Fever by none other than John Travolta. So I really thought that was, you know, anything was going to be uphill from that, but I'm not sure if it is.
Well, this week, what we are reviewing is Brie Larson's Finally Out of PE, October 18th, 2005 release under Casablanca Records, sold a whopping 3,500 copies. And to go through it with us, we have a writer for The Weekly, Frankie, The Guardian, various other places, Dee Fidge.
Hi, guys. Woo! Thanks so much for having me. And also, fuck you for making me listen to this.
I'm just glad you're finally out of PE, Dee.
Finally. Oh, man. What a slog.
What a slog. Well, welcome. Yeah, we do apologize. It's been an interesting journey on the podcast so far because we've listened to some albums which have really pleasantly surprised us. And we've gone, oh, my God, in another universe, you know, this actor is a famous superstar singer or whatever. There have been some really amazing treats. And I don't think Brie Larson is that person for us, but we don't know until we try, right? So I'm glad that we've all tried.
I literally loaded this up and I was like, you know, I was fairly open. I very much like Brie Larson. I think Brie Larson is one of those people who can kind of do anything. After hosting like the late night shows in the US, I'm like, oh, okay, you've got every skill that you need. And so I played the first track of this and went, ah, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a time.
Yeah, I feel like I came full circle in terms of I first listened to it, hated it, and then sort of had it on background noise when I was working and was like, oh, look, it's actually fine. We shouldn't rag on a teenage girl. But then I've come sort of back to where I started and we absolutely can, I've decided.
I think that's some of the pain that I've been feeling with this, because when I first listened, you know, I had a very similar journey to the one you've just described. But when I first listened, I just, you know, there's a lot of moments in this album where I'm just like cringing and I could feel that my body was tensing. And I don't actually know if it is that bad an album per se, or if it is just like, oh yeah, if I was 16 years old and somebody said, Bridie, here's some money, we're gonna like let you record an album, of course I'd write some angsty songs. And like, I think part of my pain with listening to this is that we're all only ever two steps away from recording this album, all of us.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and that's a scary thought, which, you know, we'll understand more of as we go through.
As we start this album, I was like, finally out of PE. What bullshit marketing is this? How old is Brie Larson actually? And they're like, oh, no, she was 100% like 16 years old recording this, 15, 16 years old. She is fresh out of PE. That song, it turns out, is based on a true story. Like this is real. So something interesting that came across in our research here is at the time of release from this album, there were only two artists signed to this record label, Brie Larson and Lindsay Lohan.
What like, the two greatest recording artists of all time.
An amazing, Dee, we'll have to have you back to do the Lindsay Lohan record, but what a sliding doors moment of like, if you're in 2005 and you are betting on Lindsay Lohan and Brie Larson, you're kind of good. You think you're like, wow, two from two, you have crushed it. Unfortunately, you picked their musical careers to bet on.
But it's a good point, James, because Brie Larson, I think, was, you know, a fairly safe bet. She was already a star, or at least a rising star at this point. She'd done, you know, quite a lot already, which surprised me going back, because obviously she's a phenomenal actress and a lot of us are familiar with her more recent work, which ranges from, you know, Captain Marvel to like really epic, deep, dramatic, Oscar-nominated work. She's got a lot of acting range, but I didn't realize she had been in a Disney Channel show. I did know that she was in 13 going on 30, one of the best films ever made. So that's huge. But she had been around for a little while already at the point that she recorded this album. So it kind of seems like a logical step. That's a well-worn path, the Disney Channel star into musician. So it makes sense, I think.
I think this is important for this album for us to go around the horn on. What were you like in 2005?
We're all too scared to jump in.
Obviously terrible at maths.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work back. So I was still in high school. So yeah. I would have been, a very similar age to her. So maybe that's where the cringe comes from listening to this, because 100%. It's just that, yeah, that's like very, like they're not raunchy lyrics or anything. They're just that very adolescent kind of angst of life kind of stuff. It's not like what a lot of her contemporaries were doing at the time in terms of like being really raunchy, like Ashley Simpson or Lindsay Lohan. So I think that's where the cringe comes from, is that I can relate to all of this kind of wank.
Yeah, I think the thing that placed it in space for me was realizing she went on tour supporting Jesse McCartney. That was really like, I get what time period we're exactly in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just have to look at her fringe and you go, bang, there, I'm back there.
Well, that's a good point. Could you take us through the album cover of this, D?
Oh my God, the album cover. So you've got her hair, which is such a time capsule, because I think when we think of the early 2000s, there's not a lot of like kind of fashion or beauty moments that kind of stand out, but really it was the era of, you know, low-rise jeans, the side fringe and kitten heels, which she is sporting on the cover, which I love. You know, kitten heel takes you from school to concert. definitely not PE, right? So
no, this is, if you know, this album is called Finally Out of PE, and it is a school classroom image. She's sitting in a classroom. There's a blackboard behind her. The font that her name and the title of the album are written in looks like doodles from her journal. But because it's called Finally Out of PE, I keep just thinking, is this your PE uniform? Like, what school do you go to? What has happened here? Administratively, there's been a huge cock-up if this is what people – you can't do PE in kitten heels.
Also, she, like, the song is called Finally Out of PE, but she seems to just be in another class and quite miserable about it. Like, she's just sitting at a desk at the back of a class, at like an algebra class, looking miserable, while everyone else seems to be in military uniform.
To be fair, if I had to do PE at military school, then that would be the worst kind of PE that you could do, for sure.
I think all of military school is PE.
And she does sing about chin-ups in that song.
She does sing about chin-ups. Not enough lyrics include just detailed gym routines.
So coming into this, I don't know about you, but I was expecting Avril Lavigne. Everything about this said Avril Lavigne to me. Were you immediately on that track, or did you think there was any chance that we were going to get some soulful piano going?
No, I definitely sort of knew what I was in for just based on the cover image and the first maybe 3 seconds of the first song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't surprised to learn that one of the songs actually was written by Avril Lavigne when I looked into it. So, yeah, I knew exactly what we were in for, and it was going to be a long ride.
I didn't realize, and this show has come up a couple of times on this and has really brought to my mind what a chokehold Avril Lavigne had on the public consciousness for a few years there.
Oh yeah, she was so influential. Avril. I went to a Catholic girls' school which had a uniform, but it did not include a tie. And on free dress day, when we were allowed to wear whatever we want, a lot of girls wore a tie. So it was like a reverse situation where girls were like, "Oh, I'm wearing a tie with a t-shirt because I'm so cool," and I'm like, "You're at school? What the fuck?" Anyway,
that's brilliant. That's so great. I can tell, you know, I could tell from looking at the cover that we were in for something Avril Lavigne-esque, but given that I'd never heard of Brie Larson in her capacity as a singer, except for that song she sings on Scott Pilgrim, which is great, by the way, side note, because I'd never really heard of her at the time and I was big into like a lot of whiny pop punk at the time, I was like, okay, I think we're going to get Avril Lavigne flavor, but I don't think it's going to be that good, which is an unfair assumption to go into, but it's been proved true. So
Yeah, it turned out to be very accurate.
Let's have a listen to track one, Life After You. That was Life After You, Brie Larson from Finally Out of PE. It's really like the first 4 seconds of this song, you know what you're in for the rest of the album.
And you know when we are in history. It is such a classic early to mid-noughties sound, just those first few seconds. It's awesome. And I got really excited. I was like, I've completely underestimated what this album is going to be, because the first, you know, like I want to say 20 seconds, I'm like, okay, all right, this is I can get on board with this. But I just don't think it, lyrically, it's not packing a punch at all for an opening track, which is a real shame. There's so many dramatic lyrics from songs around this time. Like when I was thinking about this time in music and other examples of sort of, you know, angsty, teenage, at times whiny, sort of poppy, punky moments. We're spoiled for choice. There's so many artists releasing music of that type at this time. I kept thinking of like, you know, that song, Welcome to My Life by Simple Plan. And then you had, you know, you had like Teenage Dirtbag. You've got all this, Avril Lavigne, you've got the Veronicas, you've got JoJo, like all these other artists who are doing what I think this first track is trying to do, but just lyrically packed way more impact into it.
Do you know what I found myself singing after listening to this album is Ashley Simpson, Pieces of Me. I had that suddenly stuck in my head for some reason. And I realized like, oh, okay, that's because it's all the same. It's all the same song, right? Like it's basically the one song just done very slightly differently. These ones aren't as memorable.
It felt to me like I was watching Lizzie McGuire up to some hijinks.
Like, yes.
Yeah. It's very like, it's immediately you're like, we're not in Avril Lavigne world. We are not in like deep, you know, like deep, but like deep world of, you know, here are my heartfelt things. We're in Disney Channel ident. Like we need music to have people having a food fight in a cafeteria too.
Yeah. G-rated teenage girl stuff, which is nice. When you think about, you know, all the, you know, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears of that she would have grown up listening to. But yeah, it's so wholesome and also so sort of forgettable.
Yes, yeah.
Agreed.
Well, let's go into Whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. You're hoping that I'm not forget yourself. Whatever. That was Whatever. Brie Larson, Finally Out of PE. Firstly, great zeitgeist moment of whatever being the harshest insult possible.
Yeah.
This gets to my favorite thing about this album that comes back over and over and over again, which is Brie Larson incredibly distorted saying one or two words in a line.
Oh, yes. Big time.
She doesn't have a lot of range, really, which is why I think they went for a lot of heavy distortions. I can't remember which song it was, but at one point I remember thinking there was something wrong with my speaker because it was making this strange kind of glitching sound, which I assume was maybe the 2005 version of Auto-Tune.
Yes,
absolutely. This is what, like, you find all of these, like, this put me in a mind of, like, this is girl version of the Need for Speed soundtrack. Like, everything has 400 different sound effects just to distract from everything else that's going on. And if you were to see the film clip, it's probably, like, the band members on a beach, but also some monkeys running about for some reason.
I can't think if this is one of the ones that she wrote, but I found a video of her saying, oh, I'm so excited about the album. It's so cool. I wrote 8 of the 13 songs. Like, she says that so deliberately that makes me sound like, did someone tell her that she's only allowed to say that she wrote 8 of the 13 songs? Someone's so proud of the other 5.
I have thought about that too, about who the people around her, around any really young recording artist are that are, you know, helping shape someone's musical offering to the world. Whether it's, you know, in the band or helping craft the lyrics or produce it, because some of the themes, you know, as you say, like it's a lot more G-rated than other young recording artists at the same time. I do think it's interesting. I read an interview from around the time where on the release of the album where Brie Larson says, I think that I write about stuff that others don't write about. I don't have a bunch of love songs because I really don't have much boy experience. I just write about what I'm actually going through in my real life. First of all, incredibly relatable to teenage Bridie, who was like, when will I fall in love? But the first five songs, which she hasn't written, are the, you know, the first like five opening songs on the record are all the ones about boys. And they clearly don't have authenticity to them. She said that on the record. And then later we get the songs that she's written, which, you know, aren't brilliant musically, but kind of in a weird way are a bit more charming, I think. Maybe because they have a bit more authenticity. I don't know.
I noticed that too, in terms of, because I found that quote as well, and I thought, well, but it feels like so many of these songs are love songs.
Mm.
So they obviously forced her to kind of wedge in some sort of teenage romance, which, again, not relatable to me.
No.
I didn't. Yeah.
Bridie at age 14 would have loved it if someone released an album who's like, I am bad at flirting, but I'll persevere. That would have found an audience among many teenagers that I knew.
Yeah, 100%. I also found an interview where she talks about how her parents' divorce was really hard on her. Could have thrown that in, but 100%. She didn't.
But instead...
Oh, when your parents break up, it's so whatever.
I've got a shit dad, whatever.
I would also like to point out that this is the second time on this podcast, but probably the 14 millionth time in the history of recorded pop music that that a song starts with a whispered, are you ready? And I just find it so funny as a trope in pop music. I don't know where it started, but it's really pervasive.
I love it because who are they speaking to? Is it the audience? Is it like actually just meant to sound like an improvisational, like, oh, we're talking to the producers? Is it a note to self?
There's panic in the studio. The bassist wasn't ready.
Yeah. I was going to say it's the same sound engineer every time who doesn't realize that the artist is talking to them. And it's like, that's a weird coincidence that all the songs have the same opening lyric.
I always think of that when it's a big hip-hop trope to have any song start with like, turn it up, turn the bass up in my headphones. So I'm like, if I was the engineer, I'd be like, can you cut that? It's a bad look for me. Just pretend I had everything ready before the first take.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. God.
Let's get through the next few tracks, which are still about boys. And then we'll start moving on to the ones that Brie Larson herself wrote or co-wrote. The next one is called Shoebox. I kept your picture in my shoebox.
That was Shoebox, Brie Larson, the after credits music for the film Seven. Dee, what did you think of this track?
Oh, look. I mean, okay, it's fine. We've all got a shoebox of sad memories, right? Wait, do we? Because I definitely do now, but I didn't when I was a teenager. It was fine, but it was, again, clearly one of those songs that she didn't write.
Yeah, this felt like it was in the world of look at this photograph. But that said, we have the immediate distortion, got your picture in my shoebox thing that made me feel like the sound of the intro of this, I was expecting something from like Linkin Park's Meteora. Mm. Like I thought this was about to go hard. And there are a couple of songs on this album where the drums specifically are going fucking hard.
There are some elements of the arrangement, which it might not be like your favorite genre of music or whatever, but there's some elements which I'm like, oh, it's done really well. Like some of the tracks have like really great mid-noughties poppy punky guitar, which is great in moderation as all things, and I love that. But then it almost feels like we just get to a simmer on this album, but we never reach a boil, you know, like nothing like fully commits, I think.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I thought. I feel like a lot of them were just missing that kind of that hook that makes you want to sing along, or that kind of, even if it got stuck in my head in a bad way, none of them did that.
I remember when everyone was singing about the picture in the shoebox and everyone wanted to get their own shoebox. It was a huge thing at my school that you were nobody if you didn't have your own shoebox.
I think Brie Larson has been working for Big Shoebox this whole time. Now, look, None of the songs so far have completely wowed us, but the next song, Dee alluded to it before, the next song, Falling Into History, as in the time, not another class, because this is called Finally Out of PE, right? Worth mentioning. But this song is by Avril Lavigne. She wrote this song. So I saw that on the track listing and I'm like, we are in safe hands. This is what I wanted the album to be. This is what I want. Let's have a listen. I fell out of you.
That was Falling Into History by Brie Larson or Avril Lavigne, whoever you want to assign the blame to. I, without hearing this was an Avril Lavigne song when I was going in, I thought, like, firstly, I think this is a better space for Brie, but it really stuck as a, like, is this an early Taylor? Like, it feels like that kind of, like, shades of early Taylor Swift area, which I think is a pretty good area for her, although I will say, not the right, like early Taylor Swift has some good writing in it. This doesn't.
I feel like it was maybe one of the songs that ended up on Avril's floor when she was like, I don't want this on my album, but I'll give it to someone else.
I always find that so funny when really established singers do that, because some of the lyrics can be quite personal and then it's almost like whoever does end up recording it is reading a page of somebody else's diary and releasing it to the world. I've always thought it must be a really strange feeling if it's a story that you've written and somebody else is going to sing about it.
Although coming in with the knowledge that it's an Avril song, my God, it feels like an Avril song immediately. Like you you can feel the like the wrist stocking coming on. Do you remember that trend, the wrist stocking trend?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I had plenty of those.
Same. We lived it, James. This is, again, I think, you know, we gave a disclaimer up the top. I think we're going to come back to it many times. This album could be a work of genius and Dee and I won't know. Like, we can't be objective about this because so much of it is completely embedded in, like, it's our age, it's who we were, you know, it's really hard to separate some of the cringe of the lyrics to some of the cringe of being a teenager in the mid-noughties.
I found myself thinking like, oh, thank God I didn't know anyone in the industry who could have hooked me up. Because I feel like, do you guys also feel like Brie Larson has tried to wipe this from? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't feel like something like, I feel like she couldn't comedically embrace it. Like it would be funny to go out and be like, I'm going to perform Finally Out of PE on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and it will be a bit and everyone will really enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel like she's just trying to wipe it. Maybe she has people, but even on her Wikipedia, like, there's like barely a mention of it. It's just down the bottom where it says discography. It's not even like it has its own little section, or it's impossible to find anything, which I think is amazing.
You know what's funny though too? Like we can all look back at things from our adolescence or even potentially from last week that we're like, I'd rather not have done that, but whatever, it's out there in the world. But
Whatever, but
I also was thinking, listening to this, if someone at my school, like a nice friend of mine at school, because obviously I presume Brie is a very nice person, she seems to be. I'm like, if one of my nice friends released an album like this, I would have thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Like maybe if I listened to this when I was 14, things would have been different, but it's really hard to listen to it now.
That's why I wonder, because like this, I would presume she's in, like she's already doing shows and films and things like that. You presume she's in one of those, as you hear, Hollywood schools, like, you know, everyone's an actor, everyone's a performer and stuff. Does this, let's say you presume Brie Larson has a level of decent popularity no matter what, but like, let's say you're grading on a curve here. This is an LA school. Like, so let's say she's at the bottom of the cool kid tier, but still on the cool kid tier, but the bottom of the cool kid tier. Does this album move her up or move her far, far down?
I feel like the amount of copies that it sold will answer that question for you. Because honestly, that really shocked me. That number really shocked me when I read that.
That could be everyone at the school has a copy.
True. Exactly. And a few generous parents buying multiple copies, like for real. But I think what I thought was interesting, I couldn't find any interview or anything with her. Obviously, I had a lot of deadlines this week, which is why I went on such a deep dive on this. But I couldn't find any interviews where she actually talks about how the album came about, like how she was signed, how it all worked. I assume it's like someone was friends with her dad or something. But I did find an interview where she was saying that she was unsuccessful in auditions, even though she'd done a lot of work. And the quote says, I wasn't pretty enough to play the popular girl and I wasn't mousy enough to be the mousy girl. And so that led me to Google if Stuart Little has a girlfriend. And in 2005, a third Stuart Little film was released and she could have been on that. Sorry.
Am I not mousy enough?
Exactly.
Wow. I mean, you're also, I had the same roadblock, Dee, when I was trying to research for this. There's very little, I mean, there's a lot about Brie Larson. There's very little about Brie Larson's musical career. There's far more articles about the song she sang in Scott Pilgrim. Like that, we could have done a whole episode on just that song because there's so much written about it. But it really does feel like she's tried to wipe this. Maybe she wants this album to fall into history.
Ooh. I don't get it. So the next track is maybe my favorite because I will say, like, I already thought the one before had a bit of early Taylor vibes. I think this is Brie Larson's All Too Well.
Okay.
You're so generous.
It's called Done With Like. That's Done With Like, Brie Larson, finally out of PE. Dee, what did you think?
This was actually one of my favorites as well in terms of I could really see myself loving this.
Same!
At that age. But I didn't even know it existed until now. But I from the very get-go, that kind of like pop punk, what I would have considered to be very cool because it wasn't bubblegum pop.
Yes.
Yes. So there was that very like, oh, I'm not like other girls. I have a guitar in my room.
Very proud of her guitar as well.
Yeah,
the guitar comes up a lot.
This song also has a lyric that I wrote down because I just would really like to sort of hash it out with you guys to see if maybe I'm missing something. So there's a man who cannot see driving in his Mercury. So how does she know he can't see anything unless he's like shouting out the window, ah, oh, help me? Or has he like, is he crashing? Like, is he?
Oh God, I'm behind the wheel and I cannot see.
Yeah. I can't, oh no. Like, I just feel like I don't really understand that lyric.
Even the one before it troubles me a little bit, which is like, never thought I could feel so complete without your face and your plastic diamond rings. Like that I also have a real problem. What is the age of the other person?
Same. Stop calling him a man and then say that you wish this could last much longer than history class.
He's the teacher.
Is he? Yeah, exactly.
It's so uncomfortable, but it doesn't matter because she's got 7 blocks all backed up with guys waiting just for me.
7
blocks. Fucking terrifying.
Well.
7 blocks. This is 7 a blocks. Child. 7 blocks of men.
If they're standing, we should, like, how many men would, that would be hundreds, if not thousands, if they're skinny and they're close to each other. Just a big accordion of men all the way down the block, 7 blocks.
Too many men.
This is the end of the Odyssey. There's just suitors all down the road.
We That's want actually half terrifying. A block per lifetime. That's a manageable amount. Half a block, which is not as lyrically exciting. Here's what I think about this song. This is the first vocal performance that she's given on this album that I'm like, yes, I really enjoy this. Musically, I love the arrangement. It's really of its time. It's super fun. I agree, Dee. I would have been like, wow, this is so cool and I'm so edgy for listening to this. But just the lyrics time and time again, I'm like, just change the lyrics or sing gibberish. Like they don't add anything in the way that you'd hope. Given, you know, subject material, breaking hearts and all of that stuff that's well-worn, excellent, you know, ripe with potential areas to write about. But I would rather it be in a different language so I didn't have to engage with the lyrics. The lyrics keep taking me out of the performance, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah, same, because it's the same words.
You don't like the artistry of Take Your Stereo Back?
As a matter of fact, you can take your stereo back.
You, the way you're singing that there really amplifies how much it is a bad musical line. Like, it is such a, like, we're breaking up at the end of act two of this, you know, kitchen sink musical.
Yeah, 100%.
The other thing of this, though, is lyrically, it is the first kind of, like, it's another heartbreak song, but it's the first empowering one.
Yeah.
Like it's the first, like, even You're So Whatever is a little down on herself. Life After You is very down on herself. Shoebox and Falling Into History are both very downers. This is the first one that is a good fuck you. How do you not start your album with this?
It's a cool song. The lyrics are weird, but I quite like it. And the more I listen to it, the more I like it. I have an exciting announcement for everyone, which is we are now done with the songs that Brie Larson had no hand in writing, and all of the remaining tracks, the 8 out of 13, are the songs that she co-wrote or wrote, starting with Loser in Me.
That's Brie Larson, Loser in Me, a track that goes out to everyone who has a loser in them right now.
I feel like this is one of the ones where she really could have leaned into it a lot more and been, the song could have been, I'm a loser. And she really could have, like, doubled down on it instead of this kind of, like, weak, oh, I guess there's a little bit of a loser in me. You know, it's like, no, just own it.
Give me, I'm just a teenage dirtbag. Like,
yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Or Loser by Beck, like the, which came out a decade before. It's not like you haven't heard that kind of a song before.
There have been losers for literally decades.
Happy birthday. This is another one of those songs where the accompaniment is going fucking hard, though. It's kind of amazing. Like, it's like, if you take out the kind of mixing and you take out the vocal performance, this could be on any good rock album. This had a real, like, I kept thinking listening to this, I'm listening to a Living End song, which is around the same time period and probably what I was listening to at the time, but it feels like the Living End.
Just to right, there's a lot of drums in there.
A lot of drums.
It reminded me a lot of a CD that I had, again, when I was in, like, a cool pop punk phase of high school. Mm-hmm. And it was called, like, I think it was called Blokes Rock. And it was a 2 CD compilation of songs that had, like, Nickelback and Living End.
It's
and
a name
Puddle of Mud.
Of my favorite album, but also just my outlook on life. Blokes rock, you know?
Well, blokes rock, but also rock. Blokes rock.
Blokes rock. That's
I just had a sudden flash to being in my brother-in-law's car and seeing that he and my sister, who just started dating at the time, had melded their CD collection. Aww. And on the right-hand side was Aqua's album, and on the left-hand side was the Armageddon soundtrack.
That's
perfection.
What a journey. Also just sent me down memory lane when you mentioned the Living End, because the first 2 concerts I ever saw in my life when I was about 13, one was the Living End, which was a great, like, first gig to go to, loved it, had a great time, and the other one was Nesian Mystic, which was New Zealand's premier boy band of the time, which I really enjoyed. And it's just such a weird, like, those are my first 2, like, outings into the world of music as a big grown-up.
Dee, what was your first concert?
I can't even – oh, wait, no, Powderfinger.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's a pretty good – Blokes Rock.
Yeah, Powderfinger, Blokes Rock, with John, with supporting John Butler.
Stop it.
Yeah, I was
There's
in the front
a time row. Stamp.
What about you, James?
Mine was the Screaming Jets at Richmond Ex-Servicemen Soccer Club, and the band Jet had just come out, and they were not taking it well. They stopped the concert, like, 3 different times to be like, they stole our fucking name. If someone asks you if you like Jet, say, yeah, the Screaming fucking Jets.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I love that level of pettiness to address the crowd at multiple stages.
That's beautiful.
And let's be clear. They were playing in the same room we did our end-of-year soccer presentations. Like, they when this was not peak Screaming Jets, like, fellas, it's over.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. This is quite a fun song. It's a fun arrangement. The lyrics, you know, also have not dated super well given the last 2 years that we've all had, which of course Brie Larson couldn't have known. The final verse, here's the plan, stay at home, lock the doors, all alone. I don't want no company. I got my guitar and my TV, order in, throw the trash on the floor. I don't care about the mess because today I'm trying hard to forget. And I'm like, girl, you are describing my dream. This is awesome. This is even before lockdown. I'm like, you're describing my dream. This is not, if this is her being a loser, then sign me up. I'm a loser too.
Well, that's kind of, it's got a real like, you know, like in the first act of any Sandra Bullock rom-com where they try and make her seem messy because like she's obviously a beautiful, intelligent person, but she eats takeout and she sits on the couch sometimes. Like this seems to be like Brie trying to be like, what does a loser do? Well, they probably sit at home and watch TV. Not me, I'm on TV, but they watch it and, and they throw shit on the ground.
Yeah. That's the dream, and I'm here for it. Guys, we've reached our title track.
Yes.
Finally, out of PE. Out of PE, the title track by Brie Larson. Dee, what do you reckon?
Look, I loved this for many reasons, but predominantly because it sounds like she's singing I'm finally out of pee. Which, like, okay, my sense of humor has regressed because I've been trapped in my own brain for 2 years. But but there's something just so hilarious about that to me.
Well, that's the takeaway. That's what we will be singing any time we use the bathroom for the next week.
Exactly. And as someone with a small bladder, like, relatable, girl. But also, I'm curious to know, because this is like she was quite on the record about that she hated PE. You know, when she found out she got the deal, she was like, yes, I can get out of class. I'm curious to know if she continued classes at that school and what her relationship was with that teacher, because that's a pretty like public burn.
valid questions. I need to know.
Yeah. Where is that teacher?
Season 2 of Vanity Project is going to be us tracking down this PE teacher to doing an exclusive tell-all.
A true crime podcast.
That's it. We're investigative journalists now. It's pretty exciting stuff. I have been a teacher for many years on and off. Love to teach, and listening to this song, the lyrics made me so angry. I play guitar, but in your class, that won't get me far. Yeah, no, it won't. You bought a guitar to PE. Like, blame yourself. You talk about the bad grades you're getting. Yeah, stop bringing musical instruments to PE. You're endangering everyone around you. We have basketballs flying around. You're going to break the guitar. You're going to hurt someone. This has no respect for the PE teacher. It has not. PE was not my strong suit. I'm glad to finally be out of PE, but at least I showed up and respected it. At one point, she goes, I show up. Isn't that enough? No, it's not. Brie Larson from 2005, you've got to try. You don't just bring a guitar to the gym and that's it. No. I'm so sorry. I had to get that off my chest.
No, I agree. Reading the lyrics, because I hated PE as a child. I'm very uncoordinated. But reading the lyrics, yeah, they infuriated me because I thought, you think that you can just turn up here with your little sing-song and that you'll still get like an A+. And imagine applying that attitude to all the other classes. Like, I turn up, isn't that enough? Well, no. No. Because then there'd be no school.
It's very funny to me that surely the PE teacher's last laugh here is, well, imagine one day you have to say realistically portray a superhero. Wouldn't it be good if you had some kind of physical backing to that? I really loved on this from the first moments. Again, sludge on that guitar. Like, is this rock? This is, again, like at this time I was deep in the Linkin Parks, and this gives me some real Linkin Park vibes. This is, if you take the lyrics out, this is the kind of thing that is on YouTube with a compilation of Vegeta's coolest moments from Dragon Ball Z.
It's funny the people that we keep mentioning as other artists who we're getting like a similar sort of flavor or vibe to, because from publication Kids World, that's kids with a Z, in 2006, she describes her influences as just a lot of different influences, everything from Maroon 5, Gwen Stefani, The Clash, Kanye West, just a lot of different artists, which I just thought was so wholesome.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the Yeezy influence on this album.
And The Clash, I'm like, I don't I don't think so.
I get more of the Clash than Kanye. I'm just checking, like, what had Kanye really put out at this point? Like, he had just dropped College Dropout.
You know that Finally Out of PE is a cover of Kanye's most famous song, right?
I'm guessing, like, because at this point, like, Kanye West is more of a producer than a rapper himself. So what she heard was him putting the musical Any in one of Jay-Z's songs and be like, yeah, that's what I sound like. I sound like the musical Any.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to rag on, I'm trying not to rag on her, but like, it does sound like a, like someone told her to say those specific artists or she found them in like her older sibling's CD collection. This song also has the lyric that's such a self-own when it says, I'm never going to win a medal, but maybe a Grammy. And I'm like, you know, 3,000 albums, Brie. 3,000.
Just like re-release the album now and just change Grammy to Oscar. She's a very, very talented woman. That is like when no one's disputing that. We just think her talents might lie outside of this particular album. I also think she has quite a nice voice, except there's only a very few, like very few moments in the album where she's not doing that affected, quite nasally whine, which was popular at the time. But there's a few moments in a couple of the tracks coming up where she'll have a moment where her tone is much purer and sweeter. And I'm like, that's lovely. Like I that's what your voice sounds like. This voice that she's doing on all these songs just kind of sounds like she's trying to be other people. And I'm like, no, I don't really have any idea of you as a person after listening to these songs.
If she released an album this year,
would
you listen to it based on your knowledge of this album in 2005? Like, I would presume she would move with the times. She's not putting out Finally Out of PE 2, still out of PE. Would you want to listen to, like, knowing what you do about her composition and her voice, would you listen to a new Brie Larson album?
I totally would, because I'm really curious. There's enough interesting, good moments in the album that I'm like, oh, in another universe where there are different lyrics or different arrangements or different musical direction on your vocals, I would like a lot more of this. Like, I think she's got talent, so I would definitely listen. I'm curious.
I am out on this album, just as a blanket statement, but we can keep going into the next track while I slowly convince the other two of you to turn the keys on your nuclear codes. She Shall Remain Nameless.
I guess you got it figured out. You got it sorted in a little rose. You got the girls on one side, the guys on the other. It's all out of control.
That was The Living End, West End Riot. No, sorry. She Shall Remain Nameless, Brie Larson. Dee, what do you think?
Look, this is around the time where I definitely didn't mean to, but I did tune out because all of the songs start sounding a little bit the same. And I think this is the song that has that. It's just that very teenage kind of mentality of like, oh, I don't even care. I'm just going to write a song about it. Which I thought was really sweet, and I think that's maybe why I thought, oh, that's quite sweet and relatable. But yeah, it does feel like she needed a bit of a vocal coach and a bit of a like a writer to help her kind of really flesh out these ideas, because yeah, to be honest, the rest of the album I just kind of is white noise.
Yeah, and as for me, you just played it and I've immediately forgotten it, so I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I reckon it's worth us listening to She Said, which was the one of the big singles for the album. It went to number 31 on Billboard Hot Singles. So let's have a listen to see if this can win us back at all.
Right, can I – this is one of the only other songs that I wrote some lyrics down that I love, if I may be allowed to read them out. Okay.
Please.
She said, la, 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 oh, la, 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 la. La la like she... la la la. Still going, Bridie. Sorry. Still going. La 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 la. So that's what she said.
Oh. I like the O, like she's remembered something that she forgot. Oh, and she said la 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 la.
I love this so much because the la-di-da, la-di-di reminds me of, do you remember when Christian Bale went off on set and it became this viral audio of someone moving a light and he's like, mm-hmm. it's fucking unprofessional. One of my favorite parts of that is he's describing the guy walking past. He goes, and he waltzes through here like, la-da-da-da-da. And the idea of anyone angrily going, la-da-da-da-da has stuck with me forever. And this brought it back beautifully.
Do you guys remember your first email address? Like yes. your first email? Mine was ladida@hotmail.com, and I don't know why.
Mine was Agent Bridie, because I thought it made me sound like a spy.
I never had one. Shall we? Like, how are we feeling here? Do we want to go on to Invisible Girl? Now, what we should know is Invisible Girl was the first song written, and written because she didn't get the role of Wendy in Peter Pan. It's her first foray into music. Can we be fucked?
Oh, let's do it. I want to find out if she didn't get the role because she's literally invisible, so no one could have seen her on stage.
Sorry, that extra little voice. What should I do? Piping up. I love that.
And here we have the verse, I'm not JoJo or Miss Spears. I'm just a girl who disappears. Okay. You're not JoJo. You're not Miss Spears. You're not Wendy Darling either. Where did you find that, James? I didn't know that's a background to this song.
Yeah, apparently that is part of her background. I love getting four lines into a song and saying, I don't know where to take this. It is like this made me creep because this is such a, this really feels like the song you write when you're 14, 15. Like, what do you mean I'm not the most important person in the world?
Yeah, still 100%. Struggling with that now, to be honest.
I also love of this, my other part through this is when she's becoming visible, when she's taking control of her life towards the end of the song. Go to the beach, run through the rain, stretch beyond your reach, take a flight to Spain.
All great advice.
I love
that. Okay, look, even though the final track is a few songs away still, Hope Has Wings, and it was, as we all know, featured on the 2005 film Barbie and the Magic of Pegasus. I just don't know that I can wade through four more songs to get there. So, James, I have to say I'm joining you. I'm out. Dee, how are you feeling?
I'm exhausted.
Okay, then. Let's ask the pivotal question. Dee Fidge, was this album a mistake?
Look, I'm going to say no. I don't know why. I think maybe because it's quite innocent and pure and she was just kind of being herself a little bit, and that's fine. It's Daggy and it's Dorky and it's forgettable. So it's fine.
Brady Connell, was this album a mistake?
Yes, but not Brie Larson's mistake. I think it was a mistake of some of the adults around her who were like, no, do a whole album instead of a couple of really great singles, which she had. And no, definitely write these songs that you – definitely sing these songs that you have no experience with the lyrics. I think there are a few people around her that made the mistake, not Brie Larson. If I were Brie Larson at this time, I absolutely would have released this album too. And I also think in the grand scheme of her career, it clearly hasn't slowed her down. She's phenomenal. So I'm going to say no. James?
Yeah, I think you're right, though. It's got a very Rebecca Black quality to it. Like, it's 2005 Rebecca Black, where you're like, you actually have a lot of musical talent. What you don't have is someone in your life who is looking out for you.
That's because her parents were chiropractors.
And we know that chiropractors hate music.
They do. They famously, like, snap necks and stuff.
Yeah. For me, I don't think it was a mistake. I think it is a mistake now not to embrace it, because this, like, there isn't a fucking comedian on earth who hasn't tried to find the diary they wrote when they were 14 so they could go and do it on stage. Everyone gets 20, 25 minutes out of that now. This is better. this is like, if she did this episode of the podcast live on stage, like, what we're doing is a listening party for my first album. I'm going to tell you what was going on behind every one of these tracks, what I was feeling. You're going to cringe with me as I have to listen to what I recorded. That would be endearing.
That 100%. Would rule.
Get her on the pod.
Great, if you're listening. Yeah, okay, so I think we're all agreed. It's not a mistake, but it's also an album that none of us will be listening to again.
Yeah, no songs make it into... Oh, maybe Finally Out of PE makes it somewhere into a playlist.
It's going to become my new go-to karaoke track.
Bridie Connell, we need to put together the Vanity Project podcast playlist where yes, you all of our favorite yes. tracks from all of the albums so far is on there and you can just cringe and listen.
We absolutely will do that. We'll get right onto that. And we can just add to it the more beautiful Vanity albums we find because, spoiler alert, we never seem to run out. There's a lot of Vanity projects out there, so please do join us next week for our next one.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being with us, Dee. If anyone wants more from Dee, you can find her at Figgled on social media and various writings all over the place. Dee's very, very good. You can follow us at Vanity Project Pod on Instagram. Thank you to Evie Hillier for our album art and to Aaron Dobos and to a lesser extent Fraser Harvey for our theme song. Please rate and review the episode. It's just a legal obligation to say that at the end of every podcast. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. So I haven't seen much of Brie Larson's work aside from when she was the teenage daughter in the United States of Tara and also Room. Mm-hmm. But I think that's all that I've seen Brie Larson in. So I'm not super familiar with her. And I went on her Wikipedia page and in 2006, this is just, I just love this so much as an entry of Wikipedia. It says, in 2006, Larson was cast alongside Logan Lerman in the film Hoot about young vigilantes trying to save a group of owls.
Why have I not seen
bigger and better things?
I assume that will be my favorite film as soon as I watch it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was the prequel to that Rise of the Guardian, the Owls of Gahul film.
That was a gritty reboot.